Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Psalms chapter number 14. Psalms chapter number 14. I know that surprises some of you. I know we've been going through the book of Psalms right now for the last 13 weeks. So Psalms 14 is this week. But we're not going to just stay in Psalms. It's going to take us to other passages of scriptures also. And looking forward to this thought, the fool hath said. The fool hath said. Now, I've learned... I had somebody one day encourage me about calling people a fool, and I'm careful with that. I don't like going around calling people a fool. Sometimes I tell people what you're saying is foolish or how you're acting is foolish. Sometimes I'll say somebody that you're ignorant of a certain information. They don't like that either. The word ignorant means that they're lacking knowledge or awareness. So when someone begins talking or saying something like, look, you're just ignorant of the situation. But God calls certain people a fool. And tonight we're going to actually not just stay in Psalms chapter 14. We're going to look at some different spots where that God himself calls a fool. Because there's lots of people who look at me and tell me I'd be foolish because I've give my life for the Lord. Other people that will say different things, that person's foolish and this person's foolish. But it's important, what does God say is foolish or who God says is foolish? We're going to read these verses to begin with, and then we're going to go and do a little bit of a Bible study about the different places where God calls someone a fool or what is foolish. And then we're going to try to tie this all back together with Psalms chapter number 14. Now, Psalms chapter 14, there's also two other passages of scripture that something similar is written. Romans chapter number 3, a lot of the similar verses. It's Psalms also, I believe it's either 53 or 56 that has the similar verses that go along with this. Psalms chapter 14 is a very short psalm. It's only 7 verses long. And that first phrase, probably everybody knows, I guess it's 2 phrases. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Everybody says that April 1st is National Atheism Day because the Bible says there's a fool because of the fact that they say there is no God. And here with this passage, as you're reading it with me, I'm hoping you see the same thing as I do. He's not just talking about, I don't believe God is just talking about a person who would say, I don't think there's a God at all. But that's somebody that's a professing atheist. But there are people that are practicing atheists or practical atheists. And the fact that they may say there's a God, but they live their lives like there is no God. I even seen some Christians at different times that will go their own way and say, you know what, this part of my life, don't care about what God thinks. I'm going to try to live a life like there is no God. They are a practical atheist. I think it kind of ties in with our message on Sunday night, as I encourage you this upcoming week, this week that we're living in. Ask yourself, okay, God sees what I'm doing. Is God pleased with what I'm doing? And I've asked myself that many times from Sunday night to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I got to care about it if it's going to make a difference. But boy, it changes the way we live if we ask God, God, I know that you see what I'm doing. Now, do you care what I'm doing? And here, an atheist or a person that is a practical atheist, no, I don't care. And sometimes Christians live that way. Sometimes, and that's a struggle that's there. This specifically is talking about the wicked. This is a passage you can go back to Psalms chapter 11, to Psalms chapter number 12, when they're talking about how wicked things are, how wicked people are. And it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. So as we look at this idea, the fool, and the fool hath said, let's look at a few different verses, passages of scripture that discusses who God calls a fool. Let's take our Bible to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 9, there is a certain group of people that God says is a fool. And that's what we want to look at here. And we're going to do this a couple different times, and we're going to come back to this thought. And you say, well, what does this show us? Well, this is showing us how people act foolishly. This is showing us how they get from the fact, I don't think there is a God, or I'm not going to act like there's a God, or what does that mean? So the first thing here in Proverbs chapter 14, look what it says in verse number 9. Proverbs 14 and verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mock at sin. Now, here's a couple thoughts when it comes to that. What does that mean? You know, sin destroys people's lives. Sin wrecks lives. Sin ruins homes. It destroys families. But the fool makes light of it. Sin seduces. Sin saddens people. But there are people out there that will mock it. How many times have we seen someone that is anti-God or atheist, and they'll, you know, say, well, if there's a God, just strike me dead now. Or they'll mock God and they'll mock things. That's foolish. But also, when we think about the ungodly, we think about all those other things, that's fine. But I think sometimes we've got to be careful how we make application in our own life. Do we mock sin sometimes in our own lives? Sometimes I've watched, and I'm not good at being funny, but I'm good at watching things that are entertaining, some things that are funny. But I've seen sometimes in independent Baptist churches, people mocking sin and skits and other things like that. And it's like, I just shake my head and I'm thinking, where do they do with Proverbs 14:9? I mean, they just sit there and they mock it. They laugh at it. I know. And once again, I've sat there and I've sat at many youth conferences, and I enjoy youth conferences, and I like the skits many times. But sometimes they push an envelope and they start, you know, have guys dressing up like girls and, you know, thing. And that's, it's just making a mock of sin. And you say, Pastor, it's right there. And we got to be careful. Be careful of your doctrines. Be careful what you say. Be careful of your actions. Be careful what you watch. And do fools make a mock of sin? Now, I agree, and this is mainly, I'm sure, referring to the foolish that think that there's no God, but fools mock sin. So be careful with that in our own lives. Next thing, Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12 is a familiar passage of Scripture. We probably a little bit more reminder of Luke, Matthew chapter 7 at the end of the teaching of the parable on the mount. But Luke chapter number 12, look what it says in verses, we're going to Matthew chapter 7 next. Luke chapter 12, look what it says in verses 16 through 20. Person who doesn't believe there's a God. And once again, sometimes we would not say that, but do we live our lives like that? Look what it says in Luke chapter 12. Look what it says in 16 through 20. Once again, very familiar parable, but God says, calls a person a fool. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. So we see in his actions here, gives no thanks to God for the bountiful harvest, does not consider asking God what I should do. Instead, he acts as if there is no God and makes a decision that he asks himself. Verse number 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And once again, there's a fool that he says once again. Now, there's different words that obviously from the Old Testament and then from the New Testament, and even in Nick's passage, they all are talking about different, the word fool, if you look it up, it's different specific words. But many times it's talking about being silly, being frivolous, being stupid, not having knowledge or having knowledge and not applying it. So the Bible says here, the fool, you know, we like to say the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's true. There is no God. That's foolish. But how about when us that say there is a God make a mock of sin? Or when this comes here, he's saying a believer can act foolish when they live only for this world. And that's what this man is doing. This man has worked. This man has put the harvest in. He's put it in the ground. He has reaped the harvest. He's not sitting around not doing anything. He's willing to work. Verse 18, he's willing to pull down his barns, and he's willing to build greater ones. Then he's willing to tell himself. But God says he is a fool who only lives for this world. And if that's all we're planning for is this world, then we're being foolish. I've had somebody recently, a couple over the last few years, probably maybe three or four people, encourage me because I hit 50. You know, you need to be considering retirement. You know, you need to be putting things aside and away for retirement. I think all that stuff is fine. All that stuff is good. But at the same time, you know, I do care about that, but I care more about what's going to happen after this world. And I don't minimize, you know, that a person should plan, but I think you gotta work within your means and as you're planning those things. But what are we living for? Is we living just for this world? God teaches us about providing, and God talks about preparing, shows the ant, all those different things. Those are all great things. But we should not be looking and focusing on here only. We need to make eternal investments also. We need to be living as if there is going to be a tomorrow. And you think about it. When this man died, probably because he was rich, people came and people probably said good things about him. And the world and in the community, they mourned his loss. God looked at him and says, "You're a fool. You put everything on this world. Yes, you may have the world's goods. You may have the world's vernacular. You may have the world's cheering for you." But he said, "Tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. What are you going to tell your soul then?" Yeah, you're a fool. So tonight, I want us to consider this. When we look at Psalms chapter 14, we don't know exactly when it was written, who it was written to. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's quiet. Lots of Psalms we figure out. This Psalm, different things, different people, and I'll give you some opinions when we come to the last verse why we might understand. But sometimes God leaves that blank and silent so that way it applies to all times. And we're going to have foolish people all the time. We're going to have people that says there's no God all the time. We're going to have people who live like there is no God all the time. And you need to be careful not to try to read into the Bible and try to make things up out of the Bible. And sometimes people stretch that if it's not found there. But here we see that there is a time. He writes this out and says, you know what? They're all abominable. They all done bad. There's no, not one. All those different things. You're thinking, well, that's talking to the wicked and the wicked only. We're all sinners. We're all, unless we're saved by the grace of God, we don't have a hope for heaven. So I want to take this and I want us to not just check it off and say, okay, there's a bunch of wicked and God's going to answer to that. I want us to be applying it to our own hearts and our own lives. Yes, there is wickedness. Yes, God will answer to that. We don't have to be discouraged by the atheists. We don't have to be discouraged. But let's not act like we're atheists, though, with our Christian lives. Let's not act like there is not a God. Let's not say there is no God because I mock sin. There is no God because of the fact that I'm only living for today and not caring about tomorrow. There's another passage in Matthew chapter number 7. Is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter number 7. He says there is a foolish act here, a foolish act. Matthew chapter 7, look at verses 24 through 29. Matthew 7, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and liketh them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And we all think about, okay, I remember that song, you know, how the wise man built his house upon a rock and the foolish man upon the sand and everything went, you know, kaplooey. But that's what he's saying here. And the rain descended, in verse 25, the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So a person who hears and does God's sayings is a wise person. Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And we sang earlier about that storm, "Till the storm passes over." You know, some people are crushed in their storms. Why is that? It's because they hear the word of God, they know the word of God, and they just choose not to do it. And the Bible says that sometimes if we build our house, our lives upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, when the storms of this world come, they're going to come, they're going to howl, they're going to blow, but they're not going to knock you over. But when we build it upon the foundation of myself and not listening to the word of God, when the storms come, it falls flat. So the Bible says it is foolish. It's described here as one that in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So are we obeying the word of God? Is that something? Are we obeying it? That's because he says if we know the word of God and we hear the word of God and we don't do it, we're being foolish. So how do we apply that to us? It's pretty easy. We've been in church. I look around the room. Most of us have been in church for more than 10 years, maybe more than 20 years. I'm looking across the room and maybe one or two that has maybe within the last 10 years. I mean, on Sunday morning, you'll see a different crowd and you'll see many that aren't super faithful. But most people here have been super faithful. Most have been here in this church for more than 10 years. But going to church for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So we've heard, we know, do we apply it? Do we love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, our soul? And I think that's more of a goal that should be, are we walking with him? But do we keep our lives clean? Are we holy? Are we forgiving? Do we have the right attitude? Are we tithing? Are we being faithful? Are we being a witness? We all know all these things, but God says, if you know, here's these sayings of mine and doeth them not, you're as the foolish man. And so with those type of things, lots of people will look at other people and says, oh, that's just a fool. And I've heard people say that about others. And I said, you better be careful what you say a person calls a person a fool. And I said, because many times people will look at believers and say they're acting foolishly. But when God says something, we're not caring about man's opinion, but when God says something, I want us to look in our own hearts tonight and say, am I being a fool? Whether we say there is no God, and I don't think anybody in this room would ever say that, or whether we act like there is no God, we are being foolish. So now with all that being said, let's go back to Psalms chapter number 14. As I said, when I read through this psalm, this is not just, in my mind, something that's just talking about an atheist. But this is talking about those who also lived their lives as an atheist or a practical atheist, acting like there is no God at times in their life. Psalms chapter number 14, if you wanted to take notes, there is four different things tonight, not just three. The first thing is you see the atheism of a fool. The atheism of a fool. That's found in the first verse. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If a man declares there's no God, he's not even as smart as a demon. I think demons are pretty smart, obviously, but we think in Romans, in James chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God and thou doest well, but that the devils also believe and tremble. If you want to, you can listen or you can just take your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1. Hold your spot in Psalms chapter 14, but Romans chapter 1 talks about how you can see a downward spiral of a fool or a foolish person. You're going to see the atheism of a fool, the affections of a fool, the actions of a fool, and the answer from God. See here in Romans chapter 1, look what it says in verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. So what the Bible is saying there is this speaks of the conscience. Every man's conscience bears a witness that there is a God. There is an existence of a God. It's a fool who denies the knowledge within himself and will not hear the testimony of his own conscience. Creation itself around us shows us that there is a God, but also with inside of us shows that there is a God. Look what it says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so here we see here that God is revealed to man. But then you see the response. Look what it says in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Even creation itself speaks that there's a God. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is saying the world is without excuse because of the conscience that's inside of them and because of the world itself is giving a revelation to them there is a God. Because that when they knew God, and so when they had the opportunity to know God from the conscience and from the world itself, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, how many people out there today that are PhDs, that are universities today, that says there's no God? They're fools. I don't care how many letters they have behind their name. They're a fool. Not all PhDs obviously are that way. There's many godly PhDs that teach in our Christian colleges and that write books and all those other things. But what this is saying here is that there are people who profess themselves to be wise. They profess they have a knowledge, but they became fools. Why is that? It's because there is an atheism there. They said, I do not believe there is a God. I choose not to believe there's a God. They ignore all the evidences. You think how amazing the universe it is and how the universe just works together and clicks together. We saw that just recently, that what do you call it when they cover the moon with the sun? The eclipse. There you go. And how can you forget that? I'm getting old. But you know, that happens, and they can actually make it on the exact day. They know that. And then how many years later they're going to say, hey, it's going to happen on this day? It's because it works completely perfectly, because there was a divine creator. And what the atheist has said in their mind, I choose not to believe that there is a God, and I choose not to accept those things. And when the person acts that way, you're going to see now their affection. So go back to Psalms 14 once again, in Psalms 14. That passage in Romans talks about creation. It talks about how every human being, through the witness of the conscience and creation, knows there is a God. A fool disregards the light of their conscience. A fool disregards the creation. They say there is no God. And what's going to be happening is they become simple-minded. Even though they profess to be wise, I don't know how many times I've seen people say, well, you believe in that fairy tale book, but I believe in science. I was like, I believe in science too. Science is something you can actually see, and you know, you can actually watch happen, and you could not see evolution happen. You never saw it happen. You weren't here millions and millions of years ago, but we have a recorded record of what happened just 6,000 years ago. So you see the affections of a fool. When a person will disregard God and say there is no God, what happens? They begin to become corrupt in their affections. Look what it says here, verse 2. And I'm sorry, second part of verse 1. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Atheism goes hand in hand with abominable works and abominable behavior that is prevalent today in our land. In Romans chapter 1, you see how it keeps on getting worse and worse, and how the abominable behavior talks about homosexuality and immorality, and it always is preceded by idolatry. In a nation that's removed the foundation of life, they fix the moral standard. The fixed moral standard is gone. We begin to question truth. We begin to see what is right, what is wrong by just our own opinions and how we feel. I believe this is right, is what people say. There must be a fixed moral standard, and that's what the Bible is. And as we go away from that, we're saying there's no God. Men should be able to do what they want, but we know some men, it's amazing the day and time they want. They think that it's okay to marry five-year-olds, or they think it's okay for a child to think that they're a cat. I was reading sometime recently how they feel like they should have their own litter boxes in school because they're identifying as a cat. And it's just amazing how these things go. It comes to the point that we teach people there's no God. You don't have to pay attention to God. They're acting foolish in their hearts, that they used to be wise, but they become fools. The world's saying we're going to have better lives. They're saying they're going to have a more enlightened age. They're going to climb to the top. But this world seems to get worse and worse and worse. Crime gets worse and worse because we get farther and farther from God. And yes, I understand this is the end times. But when we look at this, the person who says there is no God, they're going to be corrupt. They're going to do abominable works. And there's none that doeth good when you say there's no God. Verse number 2, you see the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So I want you to think about the actions next of a fool. The actions of the fool. The affections are toward abominable things. Look at the actions. Verses 3 through 6. Bible 3 and 4, I'm sorry. He says, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? the actions take a particular direction. You would think that people, and I mentioned this to somebody recently. I was sitting there and we were talking, and I said they were talking about how people want us to be tolerant, but it doesn't seem like anybody wants to be tolerant to the people of God. And how they, you would think the world would say, well, if there is no God, those people are just fools. They've been deceived. We're just going to leave them alone. But they don't leave Christians alone. If anything, they attack Christians. They have to take the word of God out of the schools, but they can have the Quran there. They can have whatever else there. They want to take prayer out of schools. They want to take, I read in CLA that, you know, they had their little thing that comes. Ours came just within the last few days, and they were talking about pray for a church in North Carolina that's trying to help one of their children because the children got in trouble for passing out gospel tracts in school. And was told, you cannot pass out gospel invitations to school. You can do whatever else you want, but they said this little girl was told you couldn't. And I thought that was amazing. And when I was reading this, it says that the people here, it says, who eat up my people as they eat bread and will not call upon the Lord. What we're talking about is they're interested in attacking Christians or interested in getting rid of Christians. And God says here that he's searching for those that will follow him and that there was none that was seeking him. And who do the fools target? Who do the fools target that say there is no God? They target the people of God. The heart of a man that says there is no God is someone who will also come after those who believe in a God. Why is that? Because the light, it shuns the darkness. So remember, the actions of a fool. God's saying that they will not understand. And that's what he's saying here in verse number 2. He says, the Lord looked up from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. And if they're saying there is no God, they will never understand. They've all gone aside. They've all together become filthy. You ever look at something and say, boy, that's just filthy. That's disgusting. So the fools begin chewing on God's people. God says they don't have any knowledge at all. You should not let these things harm you. You should not let these things stop you. You should not let these things discourage you. The Bible says they're there. They've been there all these years. Something you talked about, and we've seen the retaliation against first century believers. We've seen the retaliation against the prophets of God. We've seen people all throughout the scriptures and all throughout history that says, I don't believe there's a God. Next thing I want you to think about is the answer from God. Look what it says in verses 5, 6, and 7. So the people that are attacking the people of God, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. God is the one that's going to stand up for the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is refuge. And so when you see this, it's talking about, hey, this is God's answer. God is going to be the refuge. God is the one in the generation of the righteous. And I really enjoy verse number 7 where it says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. And you say, Pastor, who was this written to? Not sure exactly who it was written to. Some would tell you they believe it's talking about when the nation of Israel had been taken in captivity. Maybe when the ark was taken back and brought back. Some say, hey, it's talking about Babylon and it's prophetic in Babylon and the fact that someday it's going to encourage the hearts of all the wickedness that are around them, and they're sitting there and they're being held inside a ungodly culture. And they're saying, the fool have said in their heart, there is no God, and they're attacking the other ones to encourage those that might be in bondage. Some believe that it's future tense, talking about not just the Babylonian captivity, but also talking about someday God's plans for Israel in the end times. And so there's an excitement here is that this is going to happen. Yes, the world is wicked. There are people who said there is no God. They're going to be corrupt. They're going to do wicked things. And yes, they're going to attack believers. But God is in the generation of the righteous. God is the refuge of those that are righteous. And yes, there is going to be a day and a time when all will rejoice that are believers. Oh, the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. It's interesting. Jacob, he's going to rejoice, but Israel is going to be glad. But they're talking about the same person. Jacob there was before he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and Israel was afterwards. And I know it could be talking about the group of people, but it's an interesting thought there to change that they're going to rejoice in the fact that someday they're going to be exactly where God wanted. They're going to be the nation that God wanted them to be. And I know that's down the road, but also it could be talking about some one of the other captivities. What does all that mean? We don't have to get worried or discouraged by those that are atheists. We need to stand up and do what's right because God's in the righteous generation of the righteous. God will be the refuge. And God someday will know how the end is. Can you imagine the thought? I don't think God's going to do this, obviously, because the word doesn't say it. But you have a section of atheists that are at the great white throne judgment, and they're all going to have to bow down. They're all going to have to get on their knees. They're all going to have to profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, they are saying there is no God. There is no God. And right now in hell, there is a God. And he says, I was a fool. I was a fool. So we look at that. Like I said, it'd be easy to sit here and harp on how wicked the world is. But I look at this and I apply this to my own life that God calls different people a fool. And do I live my life? Yes, I know there's a God. But is there certain times in my life where I act like there's no God? God, just give me these couple hours. That's a fool. That's foolish. God, I'm going to mock sin. It's foolish. God, I'm not going to live for now. I'm going to live for now and not worry about the future at all. That's foolish when you're talking about retirement, but that's also definitely foolish, more importantly, up in heaven. God, I know your truths, but I'm not going to listen to them. I've heard the words, but the Bible said that it's foolish. It's acting and making actions like there is not a God. You've chosen to just, you know, God hates this sin, but I'm going to mock it. You've chosen to live for here and now, even though someday you're going to stand before him. You've chosen that. I know you have said this in your word, but I'm going to ignore it. God says, that's foolish. That's foolish. That's foolish. So yes, nobody in this room would be a professing atheist. But there is a problem when many times we become a practical atheist. The fact that we say, yes, I believe there's a God, but then we act like there isn't one. That's a dangerous place to be. I know I don't want to be there. Have I ever been there? Yes. It happens sometimes because I want what I want. But let's look through the lens of the Word of God. Let's say there is a God, like we talked about Sunday night. God sees everything I do. Is God pleased with what I do? God sees everything I do. Is God pleased with how I listened? Is God pleased with how I fellowship? Is God pleased with how I give? Is God pleased with me at my work, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my husband, my children, whatever it is? God sees it. Is he pleased with it? Also tonight, don't say there is a God and then try to act like there isn't one. Tonight, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Let's pray.